appreciate Brother Tom Gillimore, how he's helped us these mornings, preaching about the three-day pattern in which our God works, and the fact that things just that happen don't just happen to our life. There's somebody in charge of all this, and I'm here to tell you it ain't the devil. Amen. If he is in charge, we wouldn't be here. I guarantee you that, but I'm glad I know the Lord is. If I didn't believe that, I'd go crazy. I bless his name. You come, take us to lunch. I love you, brother. Preach to us. Amen.
If you have a Bible this morning, you find our text in the book of 1 Samuel. Book of 1 Samuel. He said, we have been preaching on times when God would inject himself into men's lives in a three-day pattern. Certainly too many for us to count it as a coincidence or an accident. Over thousands of years of Bible history, he has crossed his T's and dotted his I's in a three-day pattern. You'd almost think there is a possibility that he is in control to what's happening to you. You say, you don't know what's happening to me. I don't need to. I just need to know the one who is in control of it. And so we've been preaching on the God of the third day. Things happen, but they do not just happen. We looked at the first 3 days of creation at the coronation of the God of the third day. We looked at Abraham and Isaac at the cross of the God of the third day. How far was it to Moriah, Abraham? He says a three-day journey over. Look yesterday at Moses and Joshua and Esther. God's butted into their life in a three-day pattern. We saw the consideration of the God of the third day. This morning, I'd like to turn our attention to 1 Samuel chapter 29. I'd like to look at David. He injected himself into his life in a three-day pattern. We have on the first days brought to your attention that I cannot control what happens to me. You cannot control what happens to you. You'd like to, especially you control freaks. You'd love to be able to control. Hey, tell God you got a plan. You hear him laugh louder than you ever heard him laugh. He loves to mess up plans. As we progressed in these thoughts, we said that you cannot control how people respond to you. You cannot control people being ugly to you. You cannot control people cussing you, cutting your guts out, putting them on a platter. But you can control how you respond to it. And when we respond properly, we saw in the life of Moses, Joshua, and Esther, God will give you their blessing. I wished you would cuss me. I'd get your blessing if I respond properly to it. Are you listening to me? I like that, don't you? This morning, I want to look at David. And I want to preach this morning on the care of the God of the third day. I've asked you every morning to not be consumed with what's happening to you so much, but to peek-a-boo behind it and see who is behind it. And this morning, I want to lay this thought before you, that the God of the third day has the ability to bring good out of bad on the same day. He can bring bad, and he can make it good all on the same day. He did it for David. He can certainly do it for you. We turn our attention to 1 Samuel chapter number 29 and verse number 9. And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. They don't want David anymore fighting with them. They said, just get your mess together and go home. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have lighted to depart, David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return from the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, hey David, what day did you get home? He said, it took us about 3 days to get back home. We got home on the third day. Hey, lest I forget to tell you, things happen, but they do not just happen. The Bible says they got home on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Care of the God of third day. Hey, preacher, what kind of ability did he have? He has got the ability to bring good out of bad on the same day. I don't know what's happening to you this morning, but I double dare you to pick a boo behind it. You liable to catch him in the middle of the transaction of bringing good out of bad. If you were to just pick a boo and just catch a snip of him bringing good out of your bad, you were liable not to do this no more. You might have yourself a shouting fit and you don't even shout. Here, as we begin to look at the care of the God of third day, I want us to look first of all at the reviving day by the God of care. I noticed for David, it was the worst day of his life. The Bible says they have returned, been riding for 3 days. They have been in battles many, many days. He's tired. He's wore out. He probably just wants a good bath. Brother Rich probably wants his wife to wash his feet. He's got plenty of them. He's returned home. He's tired. He's wore out. And they catch a little glimpse as they come over the hill that home ain't there no more. It's gone. All it doing is little smoldering flames. Here they done burn it slap to the ground. And all of their children and their wives, 600 men, all the children, all their wives, gone. Bible tells us in our text in verse 3 and 4, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and the wives and the sons and the daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. They wept until they couldn't cry anymore. It is the very worst day of their life. Preacher, you going to tell me God was behind that? I'm here to tell you with all my heart, God was behind it all. He's fixing to bring good out of bad on the same day. Amen. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Here they have cried until they can't cry anymore. The Bible says in verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed. That means to be pressed into a narrow place where the top of the back begins to meet together. It's like going into a tunnel and you see a light at the end and you think there's hope and there's help coming on the way, but you notice too late that light at the end of the tunnel is a locomotive and it's a fixing to run slap over you. you. This is the worst day David has ever had in his life. He is distressed. He says in verse 6, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. Hey, David, what in the world are you going to do now? But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That little word encouraged means to draw up close to somebody and to tap into their strength. Amen. That means that I draw up close to somebody and I plug into them and I start juicing their strength out of them. He said, I just scrooched up close to God and I started drawing strength from him. How much has he got? You'll never find his strength meter on empty. Just suck all the strength out of him that you want. It won't ever be on empty. He said he began to encourage himself in the Lord. His home is gone. His family is gone. All that he has worked for, only thing he's got left is what he's riding and maybe a knapsack or two across that. He ain't got jack left. But he does have, verse 6 says, the Lord his God. I tell you this morning, you can lose everything you've got in your happenings. Your happenings can take everything you've got away, but they can't take your God away. And if you've got your God and it's the worst day that you've ever had, I'm telling you, you've got wealth unspeakable this morning. Huh? It is a reviving day. It's the worst day for David's life. But I see not only is it David's worst day, but it's David's word, W-O-R-D, word day. David said in verse 7 to Abiathar the priest and Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. David needs to get some answers. He gets that Urim and Thummim bag. He wants to know whether he ought to go after them Philistines or not. He runs his hand into that bag and he pulls out the yes stone. Go get them. Time out. Hold on. I've got a deep theological question. Where it at? There's a lot of places they could have been. You do remember that there is a good possibility that they've been gone 3 days. What direction did they leave here in? Where are we going to find them? I'm talking about David's word day. I'm telling you, when you have in your worst day, you're encouraging yourself in the Lord. Look for a word from God. If one of these messages this week has spoken to you, unusually spoken to you, that may be the word for future happenings. Better hold on to it. Hey, I know most of you ain't going to do this because you think it's crazy. You probably ought to write it down. Because the devil, if you don't write it down, he'll get it before you get to, as Brother Richard called it, the mess hall. I hope it ain't a mess over there. But that's what we used to call it in the Army because it was a mess over there. The word day. But I know this, not only was it the worst day, it was a word day, but it was David's wonderful day. So David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, and came in verse number 9 to the brook Bazar, where those that were left behind stayed. David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode with him, which were so faint. There's 200 of them. I tell you that. Let's get a little more. I tell you, I know I'd like to see my wife again. I love seeing my children again. I swore slap out, I can't go no further. So they stayed behind. The The Bible said these 200 men that stayed behind in verse number 11, and they, I did not know if you'd see that or not. I thought I'd underline it for you. Those 200 that are faint, can't hardly go, they found an Egyptian. He's not even on the main drag. He just happened by coincidence to be laying over there in a field. And they just happened to find him. It says, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. Gave him a piece of cake of the figs, a cluster of raisins. He's beginning to get a little revived now. And David begins to talk to him in verse 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? Whence art thou? He says, I am a young man of Egyptian, a servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me sick. Son, how long you been sick? He said, I took sick 3 days ago. The same day that the hand of God brought the worst thing that David has ever experienced in his life. That is the same day that he made the guy sick that is going to be David's ticket to the best day in his whole life. They both happened on the same day. And you're not going to tell me there's a God in charge controlling it all. I'm double D daring you to pick a boo behind what's happening to you. You may see him in the middle of the transaction, going from the bad to the best that's ever happened to you. Huh? If you were to catch him in the transaction, you'll forget all about what's happening into you and you'll have yourself a shouting spell. Huh? I'm talking about it was a reviving day. But I see it was a receiving day by the God of care. I notice in verses 15 and 16, there is a David's providential reception. David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? Hey! You well enough to ride with us? You know where them boys are camped at? He said, I can take you right to it. How long you been sick? He said, I've been sick 3 days. Oh, my. Do you think there's a God in heaven? Hey, if you think there's a God in heaven running the show, this is yes, this is no, this is I don't know. Huh? Talking about the providential, David's providential reception. He says, canst thou bring me down to this company? He said, swear unto me by God that thou neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to his company. When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad above all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the hand of the land of Judah. There, the guy that God made sick 3 days later, the same day of David's worst day, God is preparing to bring good out of bad on the same day. Oh, you say, preacher, you don't know what's happened to me. I guarantee you whatever's happened to you, as bad as it is, I guarantee you on that same day, God had begun to bring good out of that bad. If you'll get your stinking eyes off of what's happening to you and get your eyes on the one who is behind it all. You might catch him in a transaction. I tell you, if you catch him in a transaction, it'll be a hoot for you. I guarantee if you catch him in a transaction, you won't do like most Baptists I preach to week after week and do this. Some of you are doing that to me this morning. I can guarantee you ain't never caught him in a transaction. You ever catch him in a transaction? You get happy, happy, happy. Providential David's reception. I notice David's powerful reception. It's party time down there in the valley. But now that David's here, it's killing time. The Bible says in verse 17, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening. David been gone. He's been fighting. He's been on a 3-day ride on. How long it took him to get here. But I tell you what, when he saw his wife and kids down there in that valley and all that stuff, I'm going to tell you something. The energy has come into him. He fought them all day long. And they're just swiping them everywhere. 200 of them are killed, 400 of them flee for their lives. Talking about David's powerful reception. Preacher, you got any idea where David got that kind of strength after he's wore out? Emotionally, he's wore out, lost everything he's got, physically wore out. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. You remember when he plugged in the God over there? He's probably got a long cord, and he's just taking the cord with him, and he's just a still zapping strength from God. I love that. I tell you, if you'll plug in the God, he'll give you an extension cord. I like that, don't you? Some of you need an extension cord. Have to add that to the sermon. David's powerful reception. David's possessing reception. Verse number 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither the sons nor the daughters, neither the spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered it all. David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before the other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. Not only did he get back everything that belonged to him, he got all their junk too. Amen. And God planned the same. He planned the same thing to bring the bad and the good on the same day. I love that, don't you? You'd almost think David got double for his trouble. Huh? Wow. Are you listening to me? He says in verse 20, and David took all their flocks and the herds and they drave them before other cattle and said this. David said, it's all mine. I'm taking it all. I'm wiping you out. Talking about David's possession of reception. God planned it all. On the same day. Preacher, you got any idea what day God planned that both of those for David? Yeah, it's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. It was on the third day. He is the God of the third day. I'm talking about the care of the God of the third day. See his reviving day. We see a receiving day. Could I mention last of all this morning, there is a remembering day by the God of care. Verses 21 and 22, there is a remembering of David's faithful. The Bible says in verse 21, and David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David. They had made also to abide at the brook Bazar. They went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. When David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial. That crowd that was with David was about half full of the devil. You don't mind me using the word hell, that's what they're full of. I bet some of you preachers got some people in your church full of that. and of those that went with David, and because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil. Don't give them jack. They stayed behind. They're wusses.
I'm talking about the remembering the faithful.
You'll say, well, what in the world did they do?
You do remember that they found the old boy in the field. David and his men would have still been riding around looking for him. They didn't have to ride around at all. They made a beeline right to where they needed to go. I love that, don't you? The Bible tells us in our text, in verse 22, the Belial, the people with David, said, don't give them nothing. He said, just give them their wife and children back and let them depart. Verse 23, then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given to us. He said, you better remember, this is not our stuff. We ain't got our stuff back. This is God's stuff that he has given us. He said, don't you forget. He said, he is the one, in verse 23, that has preserved us. He is the one that's kept us. He is the one that has delivered us. It's all about him. They're getting a split.
Faithful. I was wondering this morning, would you consider yourself a giver or a taker? You a tither this morning? God hates it. He hates stinking tither worse than anything in the world. That sucked there. I'd ruined it. Are you listening to me this morning? That means for years you've been talking about he delivered you from your sin, washed you in his blood. You've been keeping 90% and giving him 10. He did it all and you didn't do nothing. Now that he's been to the cross, he said, I'd like to renegotiate with you on that Old Testament principle of tithing. He said, since I did it all, you for a long time have been keeping 90 and giving me 10. He said, I'd like to turn the tables. He said, I would like for you to keep 10. Start keeping me 90. Are you listening to me this morning? He said, I'd like for you to start giving me most of what you got. Keep a little bit for yourself. You say, I wouldn't be able to make ends meet. 20 years ago, I gave myself out of debt doing that. I've had 9 cars given to me since I've been an evangelist. That one's sitting over there in a lot. That car cost $47,000. I believe the thing changed diapers if I knew how to work all them dials up there on the dash. Are you listening to me this morning? Are you known as a giver? You go to the restaurant. Do you calculate it right to the penny, 10%? I'm telling you, you're making that girl's mad as a devil. Don't throw your gospel tract down there on the table. She'll throw it in the garbage can soon she gets in the back. I love to give them about 25-30% inside of a tract. I'd love to do that at the Waffle House. Put them a 10 or a 20 in that track and watch them when you get outside in your car. They'll have the 20 hanging in their hand, but they'll have that tri-fold out. They're reading the thing right then. Are you listening to me? I gave old Gail several times at the Sonic. Good tip, more than I had bought. And I gave her a gospel track. And I was there some time ago and I come out to the car, and I had forgot because they're young. Most of them blonde-headed. They all looked alike. They got the little uniforms on. And I gave her a big tip, and I gave her that track. She said, you give me one of these before. I said, what'd you do with it? She said, "Gracious," she said, "I've got that in my book back." She said, "I can't tell you how many times I've read it." She said, "It helped me." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Would you do me a favor?" She said, "Absolutely." I said, "I'm giving you another one." I said, "Would you take that one in your backpack and retire it and give it to somebody else and replace it with this one in your backpack?" She said, "Absolutely." Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, here David is remembering the faithful, those, as Brother Richard has said, has washed our feet. I'm going to tell you something. You entertain a waitress for 30 to 45 minutes while she washes your feet, and you give her a couple of quarters this morning and try to tell her about Jesus, she don't want to hear about your Jesus. I'm talking about remembering faithful. I know for David, not only did he remember the faithful, he remembered his friends. Verse 26, "And when David came to Ziklag, he sent the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, the presents for you are the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." This band of wicked men had been stealing stuff all along those borders. They had stolen from all those people of Judah. When David was separating it, he could tell what belonged to those people of Judah. And he took them back their stuff. He's taking their stuff back to their friends. I can't help but believe that David probably, every little group that was going to a different group, probably David just throwed in a little extra. Huh? He done got double for his trouble. David remembered his friends, remembered the faithful. Notice in the text, David remembered his forgotten. Verse 31, "To them which were in Hebron, to all the places which David himself and his men were wont to haunt." All of those little haunts, all those little villages, didn't even have a name probably. Just a little a band of people in tents, in little haunts. But they had given David food. They had given David water. And when David got back what he had, got double for his trouble, he remembered those little haunts. And every one of them, he rode into them and brought them a little offering. Are you listening to me? He is the care of the God of the third day. I'm reminded of what the old songwriter said. Does Jesus care when my heart is pain? Too deeply for mirth or song. Does he really care when you're hurting? I dare you to pick a boo but hind what's happening to you. You're liable to catch him in the transaction, going from bad to good. The old songwriter said, too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? My sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he care? He has given us four verses of questions. Seems like he is as low to songwriter's snail snot. I can't help but believe that he picked a booze behind what's happening to him, and he catches him in the transaction. And he comes back in the chorus and says this,
Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. The same God that brought the worst day to David's life, on that same day, he's making an Egyptian sick as a dog over here, the one that is going to lead him to the best day he's ever had. Both of them, same day. Wouldn't it be something this morning? This is crazy. It's probably way over your head. Probably can't even get it. Wouldn't it be something this morning if you was to get in this altar and bow, as Brother Richard has told us this morning, and you was to catch a glimpse of him making the transaction from bad to good, you're liable to have a spell, and we could watch you standing all over the tabernacle, heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Jordan's coming. Do whatever God tells him to do. Altar's open. Am I convinced this morning? Am I to be convinced this morning that nobody under this tabernacle has got anything bad going on at your house? You say, preacher, I believe with all my heart's worst day I've ever had. This little section that I'm in is probably the worst time of my life. Hey, hon, as we started this sermon with, before I preached, they said, get low. I tell you what, you get low, you'll liable to catch him in a transaction. Going from bad to good. Would it be worth your while this morning? Would it be worth your while to get low for a few moments? And peekaboo behind what's happening to you. And maybe catch a glimpse of the transaction. While we wait, while they sing, altar's open. You do whatever he tells you to do. It'll be good, it'll be right.